What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Lightning fans, you found the right show for everything you need to know about your favorite team in the NHL. It's the Lightning Insider Podcast with Eric Erlandson. Get ready for insight, historical perspective, interviews, and breaking news that comes from a reporter insider who's got near 20 years on the Tampa Bay Lightning beat. Now for the latest with the Lightning, here's Eric.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the LightningInsider.com podcast. I am Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com. Welcome you back to another NHL season. A full 82-game schedule is on the docket as things tend to get back to close to normalcy here for the NHL after a disrupted season and a COVID-shortened season. Of course, both won Stanley Cup championships by the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, coming into the season looking to do something that has not been done since the early 1980s, when the New York Islanders were the last team to win three consecutive Stanley Cups. They actually won four, that Islanders dynasty team. Something, believe it or not, the Edmonton Oilers never did. You think of the success that the Oilers had in the 80s. They won four cups in 5 years, but they did not win three consecutive Stanley Cups. So the Lightning are looking to do something that hasn't been done in almost 40 years as they enter the season. Of course, opening night is Tuesday against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who, by the way, were the last team to enter into an NHL season as two-time defending Stanley Cup champion when they won cups in 2016 and 2017. All right, a few things I want to touch on here as the season gets going. First of all, head coach John Cooper has signed a three-year contract extension. He had 1 year left on his contract. That would be this year. So, again, a three-year contract extension for the head coach, which matches or follows, I should say, the contract extension for general manager Julien Brisebois, who earlier this summer also signed a contract extension, and the duo that has led this team to a couple of Stanley Cup titles is back for the foreseeable future as well. So congratulations to head coach John Cooper as well as GM Julien Brisebois as they embark on another season. And it's been a challenging season, off season, for Julien Brisebois, and it's one of the earlier podcasts this summer, of course, was the free agency recap. But as we embark now on this season and see what they've done, you know, their roster was submitted into the league ahead of the season opener. And according to Puckpedia.com, it's pretty incredible the job that Julien Brisebois has done, because you want to talk about maximizing your salary cap space. And we know the crunch that the team has been in the past couple of years in terms of trying to deal with the salary cap. They actually got within about $700 of being able to open up their salary cap pool. And if you were paying attention before, the acquisition of Brent Seabrook, who of course is not going to play, but his $6.875 million contract allows them to utilize long-term injury relief, similar to last season when Nikita Kucherov wasn't able to play and they acquired the contracts of Marian Gaborik and Anders Nilsson to open up that salary cap pool, that long-term injury pool. That's what Brent Seabrook has done. He'll be on the books for three seasons, including this year, so that it allows them to go over the salary cap by almost $6.875 million. It's incredible to think that the roster that they submitted to the league is going to come within $700 of reaching that maximized long-term injury pool, which is actually, last year, they were even closer. They were about $300. And if you think about it, these multi-million dollar contracts, to come within that margin of error, that margin of flexibility to get as close to that cap ceiling, that long-term injury relief ceiling that they are, just an incredible job by Julien Brisebois, Matthew Darche, who is president of Hockey Ops, who's basically his right-hand man on these situations, dealing with the salary cap and those numbers and to utilize that. So just an incredible job of salary cap management by the Lightning here once again heading into this season. So let's talk about that roster real quick. Two rookies have made the team, Boris Kachuk and Taylor Radish. They were both start the season with Tampa Bay. Of course, they were no longer waiver exempt. If the team wants to send them down to Syracuse, they would have to clear waivers first. And we knew there were a couple of jobs that were open coming into training camp because of the losses. Barclay Goodrow now with the Rangers, Blake Coleman now with the Calgary Flames, and ironically enough, Blake Coleman got himself suspended for the season opener for the Flames for a boarding hit he delivered in the preseason. So Blake Coleman now with the Calgary Flames. Of course, Yanni Gourde was taken by the expansion Seattle Kraken. Looks like he's going to be somewhat close to ready to start the season, coming off the shoulder surgery, a little bit ahead of a schedule, which is good because there was talk that he might miss about the first 6 weeks, which would have put him potentially in line to miss Seattle's visit to Amalie Arena this year, which is the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. So good news. It sounds like Yanni Gourde will at least have a chance to play in that game. So, of course, he is now with the Seattle Kraken. Tyler Johnson with the Chicago Blackhawks after the trade to acquire Brent Seabrook to get that salary cap flexibility. With that contract, Seabrook, of course, will no longer be playing, but as we've seen in the past, players are acquired. Even though they're not playing, their contracts will still count, and that's where you get the long-term injury relief. And then defenseman David Savard now with the Montreal Canadiens. But the focus was on the forward group because you lost four forwards, including the entire third line. So the big question that's going to have to be answered and will be experimented with a lot in the early stages of the season is, what are the line combinations going to look like? We got a little taste of things, and usually that last preseason game tends to be a precursor for how things are going to look when you get to the start of the season. We did see basically the full allotment of players in that final preseason game at Sunrise. Taylor Radish was the rookie in the lineup. He played in the fourth line role with Pierre-Édouard Bellemare and Pat Maroon. But the interesting thing, and we'll have to keep an eye on this, at least on the early going, was Steven Stamkos was playing left wing with Ross Colton and Corey Perry, which was a line that John Cooper put together during scrimmage, during camp scrimmages. Those three were together. And we saw it in some of the practices, that line was together. Now, the interesting part in this case was that he kept the line together only for one period in that last preseason game, and then he moved Stamkos back up to the line with Alex Killorn and Anthony Cirelli. Of course, we know the Palat, Point, and Kucherov line will remain intact, but what do the lines look like after that? You know, does Ross Colton center Steven Stamkos and Corey Perry? Does Corey Perry play on the line with Pierre-Edouard Belmar and Pat Maroon? We saw that during the preseason game in Orlando. You know, where does Matthew Joseph fit? He started on the line in that game, that final preseason game, with Killorn and Cirelli. And then he was the one moved down to play with Colton and Perry. You know, so lots of interesting line combinations to kind of keep an eye on in the early part of the season, because when you lose an entire third line, look, there's a reason that the line of Yanni Gord, Blake Coleman, and Barclay Goodrow was kind of called the identity line, right? Because they kind of set the tone for the identity of that team. They wanted to be hardworking, good forechecking, defensively responsible. And that's what that line was. And certainly it didn't hurt that they chipped in some offense as well. But that line is gone. You can't rely on that. And we know John Cooper, especially in the playoffs, the way, if you look at the way that that line was utilized in the postseason and the 5-on-5 minutes they played, and to a lot of an extent in the regular season as well, how they were a matchup line, they were a defensive line, they were the line that they would send out late in games, that kind of situation. Well, it's gone now. So now you have to find, and you're not looking for a new team identity. In some ways you are, but in the most part, we kind of know what this team is going to look like. But every year, even last year, to a lot of extent, they were looking for a different fourth line identity, right? Mitchell Stevens was supposed to be the guy, ends up getting hurt, never really gets his chance. And eventually Ross Colton comes in, and boom, you found the identity of that fourth line. Pat Maroon, Matthew Joseph, for a good portion of the regular season, was on that line. So, you know, it materialized that way. And that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on here, too. Is Taylor Radish going to be a good fourth line type of player? Former second-round draft pick, has some size to him. If you look at the way he was used in the final preseason game, he was out there for a couple of penalty kill shifts. They put him out there during a 5-on-6 situation, protecting a lead. So, you know, the coaching staff is looking for some identity here, a new identity to develop, and what's it going to look like. And what that means right now, it necessarily doesn't mean that they're going to be that same situation come February or March, right? Just like we saw last year. Ross Colton didn't come up until, what, February? So you were a month into the season, and it really wasn't until probably late February that he kind of found his niche a little bit, got in a few games, and then he continued to perform and play well. You know, so it wasn't until about halfway through the year that Ross Colton sort of put himself in that situation. So what we see for the first month, 2 months of the season, might not be what we see come February. You know, on the trade deadline will be in March. And we'll see what happens there. Not a ton of maneuverability for Julian Brisebois to deal with when it comes to putting together a trade deadline strategy, if you will. But that's one of the things that you have to kind of look for here in the early going. And where does Boris Tkachuk fit into this? He showed in the preseason his two-way game, his fight or going after Sam Bennett for bumping into and knocking down Andre Vasilevsky during that game in Orlando, which really raised the temperature on that game. Ended up being 5 fights, 96 combined penalty minutes. But Bennett refused to drop the gloves with Pat Maroon. Pierre-Edouard Belmar had a conversation with him. But it was Boris Tkachuk who finally went out and I don't want to say he jumped Bennett, but he kind of jumped him a little bit. But he went after him, right? He was the guy that went after him and got him to answer somewhat for his antics against Andrei Vasilevskiy. That stood out big time. Scored a goal, a nice goal in a preseason game in Nashville, stripped the puck high in the defensive in the offensive zone, and made a move around UC Saros, so NHL goaltender, wasn't, you know, some other team's number three or number four guy he did it against. So where does he fit into this? Because Taylor Radish, you know, you're going to see, I don't want to call it a rotation, but you're going to see different looks in the early stages to see what works, because you need a new identity to your lines outside of the point Palat-Kucherov line. What's it going to look like? What's the role going to be? That's the one thing about this coaching staff. And as they've evolved over the years, is that they give players roles, defined roles, especially as you get closer to the postseason. But in order to define what those roles are going to be, you have to see, okay, how can they handle this situation? You know, what can they do in this situation? So that's why you saw Radish out there in a 5-on-6 situation. Okay, how's he look here? We're protecting a lead. So it was a 4-2 lead at the time, and Florida pulled a goalie with about 3.5 minutes to go. So he was sent out there for a couple of 5-on-6 situations. You know, how does he handle it? And you're going to see a lot of that. Boris Kachuk is going to be put in that situation. Whoever else they bring up from Syracuse during the season, because there will be call-ups. And that's the one thing to kind of keep in mind here as we discuss the opening roster, is that what the roster looks like today might not be what the roster looks like in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Injuries certainly always come into play. So that kind of keeps you looking for what it is you want to see.
Don't be left out. Make sure you subscribe to the Lightning Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else where podcasts are found. Now, here again is Eric.
So that's the one thing that you really need to kind of keep an eye on here in the early stages of this season, is what do you do for your lines? We know the defensive pairings. They're pretty much set, right? Victor Hedman's going to play with Jan Ruda. The pairing of Ryan McDonough and Eric Chernak is back. Mikhail Sergachev is going to play with Zach Bogosian. And then Cal Foot, of course, is injured, so he's going to miss the start of the season. So the defense is set, and really the defense has been set since the start of the year, at least to start. You know, they'll open with 6 defensemen, but that'll change by the end of the first week of the season. You'll see 7 up here, whether that's going to be Andre Schuster or Frederick Claesson. But it's the lines. What do we look for in the lines? How do they mesh? What do they look for? What's your new matchup line? That's, to me, that's the biggest question when discussing the lines. Who's going to be the one? What line combination is going to be put out there against the other team's top lines? Certainly Braden Point will get some of it, especially when they're on the road, because other teams are going to want to match up against that line. So Braden Point will get some of those, but you want that line freed up offensively as much as you can. And that's where you miss Gord, because you felt pretty comfortable sending either Anthony Cirelli or Yanni Gord out there in quote-unquote matchup situations, or you felt comfortable enough that you didn't have to worry about the matchup situations. I don't know if that comfort level is there this year. Do you want to put Anthony Cirelli back into that defensive shutdown, not mentality, but role? I mean, look, I think they need to see more offense out of Anthony Cirelli. I think he's a 20-goal guy. He was on a point-per-game pace before he got injured last year, and his offense kind of tailed off a little bit. We'll see what this year brings. But is that the guy you want to send out there for, you know, crucial draws or, you know, defensive zone draws against the other team's top line? We don't know the answer to that. Can Ross Colton handle it? We certainly don't know the answer to that. So we'll look to see how the line combinations differ and vary throughout the early part of the season so that we get a feel for what that's going to look like here for Tampa Bay in their quest for a three-peat. The other thing I want to touch on here real quick is the division, because we are back to the regular divisions. There's no more Central. There's no more eight games against the Nashville Predators and Carolina Hurricanes, Chicago Blackhawks, right? We're back to the regular divisions. So you're back in a division with Florida and Toronto and Boston and Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa. Again, 82 game schedule. They'll play each team in their division four times. And they'll play the teams in the other division sometimes three times. And then they'll play the other conference two times, one home, one away. But in terms of this division, how it's going to play out this year, Florida might be the best team on paper from top to bottom. The Lightning lost their depth. We just talked about that. Florida has depth. They bring in a Sam Reinhart during the offseason. And he's coming off, I think he's got four 20-goal seasons he had with Buffalo. On Buffalo. So on paper, the Panthers might be the best team. There's questions about their defensive depth. There's questions about their goaltending. But they've got a strong forward group. Right, Sasha Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, Carter Verhaeghe, Anthony Duclair, Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett. You know, they've got some players. This is probably the most anticipated Panthers season since 1997 or 96-97 when they were coming off their Stanley Cup final appearance. But can Mackenzie Weegar do what he did when Aaron Ekblad went out and continue that part of his game? You know, how is Aaron Ekblad going to look coming off the broken leg? Can guys like Marcus Nuttavaara, Gus Nyquist, can they be the type of players they were last year because they kind of came out of nowhere and really gave them some depth on the back end? Can they continue that? And then the question and goal is, can Sergei Bobrovsky refind his form? Because let's face it, if he doesn't, that contract is a major anchor on the team. But they do have Spencer Knight. And we saw Spencer Knight in the playoffs last year. Saw Spencer Knight in the prospect camp here. They saw five periods worth of Spencer Knight in the preseason. Spencer Knight looks like he's going to be the real deal. I mean, he was a high-end first-round draft pick. So they've got questions in goal, but they've got two really good goaltenders if they can play to their capabilities. And the big question with Spencer Knight is, you don't want him sitting too much, right? You don't want him sitting around and just being Sergei Bobrovsky's backup. You don't want any 20, 21-year-old goaltender in his situation to do that. So that's a thing to kind of keep an eye on. But again, I think Florida might be the best team on paper heading into the season. I think Tampa Bay is right there with them in terms of what we look at with the roster on paper. Toronto will be there. Again, as usual, there's question marks about the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, coming off their collapse, another playoff collapse last year, blowing a 3-1 series lead to Montreal and going out in the first round. Tons of talent. John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Auston Matthews. Their goaltending, though, Freddie Anderson's now in Carolina. They bring in Peter Mrazek. Jack Campbell, don't know if that's a goaltending tandem that's going to hold up throughout an entire 82-game season, especially in that market. They'll be a playoff team. If you look at this division, I think they're probably number three in the division if we're going to rank them. Then you have the Bruins, who I try and write off every year, thinking, okay, this is the year their lack of depth scoring is going to catch up with them. Their age is going to catch up with them, and they just continue to just surprise, surprise, surprise. But here's my question with the Bruins. How's their goaltending going to play out? Because as much flack as Tuukka Rask got through the years, who really, for a big portion of that fan base, because he wasn't Tim Thomas, who, of course, Thomas led them to the 2011 Stanley Cup championship, because he wasn't Tim Thomas, well, everything was his fault. And I love Kevin Paul DuPont's Twitter feed because everything is hashtag Tuukka's fault. Things go wrong with the Red Sox, hashtag Tuukka's fault. Tuukka Rask isn't there this year. Rask is coming off hip surgery, which is going to keep him out till at least January or February. So he is unsigned. So they have Linus Ullmark, who they signed from Buffalo, which makes you wonder, can he handle a number one job in Boston? And then they have rookie Jeremy Swayman, and you talk to a lot of people, they're very high on Swayman and what he can do, his potential. But neither of those guys is Tuukka Rask. And Boston's blue line is thin, especially once you get past Charlie McAvoy. So where does Boston kind of fall into this? Buffalo, as usual, is probably going to be a train wreck. The whole Jack Eichel situation has still yet been resolved. He has the neck issue, the surgery issue, captaincy taken away. He wants to be traded, and that's still kind of hanging over the team as you enter the season. Major question marks with Buffalo. They're probably 30, 31, 32 in the league where they're going to end up at the end of the season. The Detroit Red Wings picked up Alex Nedeljkovic from the Carolina Hurricanes, so they'll be a little bit more solidified in goal, even though Jonathan Bernier did give them some good starts. But again, the overall talent in Detroit is a big drop-off. They're improving. They're getting better. They're always competitive. They are a hard team to play against, so they're always competitive. And I think they're going to be take a step forward this year. Does that put them into the conversation for the top three or four? Probably not. I think you can say the same thing about the Ottawa Senators. Good core of young players. On the rise. Of course, they have a situation hanging over their team as they enter the season, as Brady Tkachuk is unsigned. Apparently the stalemate is between number of years. Ottawa would like to sign him to an 8-year deal. He would like a bridge contract, which is closer to the 3 or 4 year range. So they have not yet come to terms as we get set to open the season. So that's kind of hanging over them. Again, steps in the right direction. Competitive enough to be a playoff team? Probably not. So when you look at the division, the top three teams are easily Florida, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. Of course, I haven't even mentioned Montreal, because I think Montreal, even though they were Tampa Bay's opponent in the Stanley Cup final, boy, is that still weird to say. But even though they were the opponent, I don't think in a regular year they make the playoffs out of this division last year. And I don't think they make the playoffs this year. Now you have Carey Price situation. He's taken a leave as he's entered the Players Help program, Players Assistant program. And look, the league is better with Carey Price in it. Carey Price is a great goaltender. He's a great human being. He's a great face for a franchise there in Montreal. Let's all hope the best for Carey Price, and he comes back on the ice as soon as possible. Hopefully he gets the help that he needs, which I think he will. And hopefully we'll see him back in the Montreal jersey here very, very soon. But again, you look at the depth. You know, you get no Shea Weber, right? Injured, might not play again. They lose Jesperi Kotkaniemi to Carolina in the offer sheet situation. Cole Caulfield is going to be a candidate for the Rookie of the Year. You still have Nick Suzuki, Jeff Petrie. Again, are they a playoff team? I don't think so, not in this division. And again, top three automatically make the division, and then the fourth team would depend on what goes on with the Metro, whether they can make a wild card or not. So, again, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Florida, easily the top three. You should see some sort of combination of that. I would think Tampa Bay and Florida would be in competition for 1 and 2. Toronto probably ends up in that 3 position. And then we'll see after that whether it's Boston, whether it's Montreal. But again, just because you finish 4th in this division does not necessarily mean you're going to be a playoff team because of how deep the Metro division is. And basically everybody's playing somewhat of a balanced schedule this year. So unlike last year where you saw the same 8 teams, or you played each team in your division 8 times. Much more balanced schedule out this year as well. All right, that's going to wrap up our season preview here, the Lightning Insider LightningInsider.com podcast. I am Eric Rawlinson from LightningInsider.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the website, there are two options. You can do a monthly plan at $4.99 or a yearly plan at $40. If you go to the website, that's the first thing you're going to see is how to sign up. And it takes you right to the plan. There's a Center Ice package, which is the $40 per year, or the Press Box package, which is $4.99 per month. All right, thanks as always for listening. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, review, share this podcast. Let everybody know it's out there. And the quest for a three-peat gets underway. I'll be back throughout the season with various podcasts, thoughts, ideas, maybe some special guests along the way as well. So until the next time.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.